Good morning, Thanksgiving. How are we doing? Yeah, it's great to be with all of you. My name is Billy Zoppla. I'm one of the pastors. Special welcome to everyone online, and it's great to see all of you in service here this morning. You know, we are in the middle of this Five Choices message series, and you know, we're going to be honest with you. We believe here at Thanksgiving that the biggest choice we make in our life is to choose to follow Jesus. We believe that. Amen? Yeah, but we also know this. We know that that gift we receive when we believe in Him, that grace that He gives us, that we just were singing, that love, we also believe that being a part of a church means something. It means something. We believe that when we go all in on these five choices, and there may be other choices out there, but these are the five we believe that really fit us here at Thanksgiving. We believe that we will be able to experience God's love and His grace to the fullest. And so, if you haven't been with us the last couple weeks, we learned about what it meant to choose community, what it means to do that. We also learned what it means to choose one and be all in on those. And these are just great steps in our lives to take. There's no guilt in that. But today we're talking about choosing to serve. And what better way to talk about that? And then just let me throw up a tlconnect.church, right? Yeah, right? tlconnect.church, right? We get coffee there soon? What is that, Pastor David, right? Yeah. And let's, you know what? We're looking for people to help us serve the family. We're looking for people to help serve our neighbors. How come you guys aren't all jumping on and clicking yes? What's going on here? Not aspiring enough for you? What is this? Yeah, you know what? The topic of serving, it can be a little tricky. We're doers. We live in a culture where we are called to do this, or we should or must do that, right? And so it's easy to think of serving as something to do instead of this choice that can transform our lives forever. And I'll take some blame. I'm sure Pastor David, he would say the same thing. We as leaders sometimes, maybe when we talk about serving opportunities or we talk about those kinds of things, sometimes it happens, it just kind of comes off as, well, this is something to do, right? And so we take a little ownership in that. But we also believe deeply that when we serve from that place of transformation, man, that choice of serving can just, it's just amazing. And sometimes we take that a little personal when people don't connect with that. And it gets me thinking. It gets me thinking about, well, God, you're right. It's not my works as a leader. It's not my works as a pastor or my creativity or even my average communication skills that can make someone respond to God's love, right? It's only by the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can move us to a deeper understanding and response to God's love. And it's through that space of grace and forgiveness, wow, that causes us to want to serve. So why these feelings of discontent sometimes when we hear that choice in church? Well, I ran across this, and I was reminded this week. I was actually with Austin, and I ran across this study by George Barna, Dr. George Barna, and with the Barna Group, and he talked about this really exciting, well, it wasn't exciting. It was kind of an interesting disconnect, and I'm just going to share about the Christian side, the approach. All right, it is believed that almost 90% of us, we believe that we have a unique God-given calling or purpose. We believe that. We believe in our identity in Christ. That's interesting. That's good, right? That's a good thing. But what was interesting is when we dug a little deeper on the purpose and the success, it was a little interesting because less than 40% of us believe that our purpose is in knowing, loving, and serving our Heavenly Father. If we take another step and look at success, you know, instead of that purpose, our purpose is found in happiness and finding our full potential. That's where we believe our purpose is as Christians right now. That's what this study was sharing. When we look at success, less than 30% of us believe that we should be trying to be consistently obedient to God's plan for our lives. We don't think that's success in our lives. Success to us is being happy, living a healthy and productive and safe life, being a good person, doing good things. And so Barna, he even takes it, he puts those two questions together, and guess what? Less than 7% of us believe that both of those should be our purpose and success in life. less than 7% of us, and we believe in God. And he says this, Americans hold on to these basic biblical ideas of what makes human existence meaningful, yet at the same time we refuse to recognize reliance on God or his existence when talking about human success or purpose. People who pursue a life devoted to achievement, happiness, productivity, and striving for goodness miss the point that life flourishes when we become God-reliant rather than self-reliant. It reminds me of that identity. And our identity in Christ, we have a freedom, right? We are given freedom. And there's a text from Paul, his letter to the church in Galatia, when he says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, for yourself, but through love, serve one another." Okay? Serve one another. We are called to freedom, he says, and don't engage in the sinful desires. Yes, they're going to be there, but rather choose to serve one another in love. That's what Paul is sharing with us. And so it doesn't just say serve. It doesn't say or serve something or even just say do something. It doesn't say do works, good works. It's saying serve one another in love, just as Jesus modeled. And so when you look at this text, what is interesting is the word through. The word through, it's so important. Hear me out. This idea that we actually serve through love, that's a preposition. And what it actually, the deeper meaning is, it says serve through the channel of love. And that's when we flourish. Serving through God's love. Now, I mean, think about that for a moment. When we love someone, right? We'll serve them. We don't even think it's serving. We just do things for them, right? We just do it. There's no act. When I love, you know, you love your wife, you do things. But what happens when the love starts to dwindle a little bit in that relationship? Becomes more about us, right? We become a little selfish. We don't want to serve anymore. But I want to be clear, what Paul's love he's talking about is not a human kind of love. This is a love only from God, an agape kind of love. It's unending, okay? And so the interesting thing is I can be hated by everyone in the world, but because of God's unending love, I can still serve through that channel of love. That is what Paul is saying. And so we don't want anyone just to walk out of here today, all right, and go, well, I guess Pastor Billy said to choose to serve today, so I guess I'll operate a camera in the worship services. I'll go figure that one out. Or, you know what, I guess I'll go help Bellevue Together, you know, and help them with their holiday stuff. Or, you know what, I suppose I could take care of the kids. Any of my parents out there, do you want a babysitter that says, oh, I suppose you can take care of my kids, I can take care of your kids, right? No, right? That's not from the heart. Instead, we want us to a response being through serving through God's love. We love those kids just as God loves his children, right? We see the kids and have a heart to influence their future in a positive way. You know, caring for them through prayer and truly wanting to support them in any way we can. And if we're honest, we serve them because maybe those are our one, as we learned from Pastor David last week. Maybe that's the one that God has placed in our heart. Maybe it's one class of kindergartners or one small group of junior high students or even one high school student going through a tough time in transition. It's not, oh, I suppose I can do it. But our response to this love is, how can I help? How can I help? And so it is so important we hear this. Everyone hears this. We do not want anyone ever to choose to serve out of guilt here. That is not what we're asking, but from this channel of God's love. And when we choose to serve here at Thanksgiving, when we are choosing to channel that love, no matter how big or small, in our everyday lives, just as Paul shared with that early church. And so I share all that. And I know some of you are going, well, that's well and good, Pastor Billy, but you know this is 2020 and it's COVID and it's really hard to serve people right now. We can't even see people. All right? And it's hard to even go to worship right now. How can I love on someone and serve someone in this season? And it kind of reminded me of our resilient message series back over the summer when we went through the book of Daniel. You guys remember that? If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, some great messages in there from Pastor David. I don't know about mine, but no, Pastor David had some great messages in there. And what was interesting is there was a prophet, and he has a book right before Daniel. It's called Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is about 25 years in that same exile, and he's asking the same questions of God. How can we worship in this time? And so God takes him on this little field trip, and he's like measuring things, and he's learning about places of worship and what can look like, and how can we do this? You know, we're in a place of exile right now. How does this work? And it kind of reminds us of us a little bit, isn't it? We're kind of checking things out online. We're kind of going, oh, can we worship in the kitchen? Do we worship in the living room? Do we have to stand? Do we sit on the couch? What are we doing? And then you come here, if you're here live. Oh, are we far enough away? We're measuring things. Is this safe for me? Is this the way we can worship in a meaningful way? And so God is doing the same thing with the prophet Ezekiel. And what's so interesting is he actually is answering how to restore the worship of God and the love of God to his people in this strange time. And so I just want to share something because I don't want to use my words. This is from a book of Tim Lucas. It's called Liquid Church. And I want to just share this with you. And this is from Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12. And you can close your eyes if you want. You can just imagine this for a moment as I read. It says, it started with a trickle, a stream so small. Ezekiel almost didn't see it at first. The angel pointed and the aging prophet bent over to get a closer look. Sure enough, there it was, a small, unmistakable flow of water leaking from under the threshold of the temple. Well, that's strange, Ezekiel thought. The angel led Ezekiel to show him where the water was flowing from the inner sanctuary, out the door, and down the steps. Ezekiel had always hoped for a vision of God's temple the way he knew the Lord would one day restore it, but he hadn't expected to see what today we might call a liquid church. A church with water spilling down its stairs and out into the city streets. Can you see it? Walking away from the temple, the angel led Ezekiel into the water. As Ezekiel waded in, the trickle became a small stream, reaching his ankles, shuffling along. Ezekiel hiked up his tunic as the water rose to his knees. Going farther, Ezekiel found himself waist deep in the rapidly rising current. It didn't make any sense. Rivers don't flow out of temples, and they certainly don't start small and grow deeper and wider as they go. But what began as a tiny trickle was now a raging river saturating everything in its path. Can you see it? The churning liquid swirled around Ezekiel's body. The prophet began to panic as the powerful current swept off his feet, and he threatened to carry him downstream. He had to be thinking, Lord, Lord, help me. At once, the angel reached down and plucked Ezekiel from the water and planted him safely on the riverbank. Do you see this? The angel asked, probing whether the prophet understood God's message in the liquid chaos. Ezekiel squinted into the distance and was astonished by the sight. The river was transforming everything it encountered. Fruit trees flourished along the riverbanks. Schools of fish swarmed in the waters. Ezekiel's eyes grew wide. In the distance, the swirling river poured into the Dead Sea, the place where nothing grew or lived. The Dead Sea gurgled and churned, the brackish water transforming into pure, crystal clear fresh water teeming with new life. Ezekiel's heart leapt as he watched the river saturate the city and surrounding countryside. Whatever the liquid touched sprang to life. Wherever the water flowed from the liquid church, God's healing and blessings followed. Can you see it? It's a beautiful vision, and it really shows that serving through God's love unveils this big picture. You know, the Apostle Paul would share with the early church in Ephesians chapter 2 about how we are dead in our transgressions. And it's only by the love of Christ that we are given new life. And it isn't by any works that we do. It's through that place of grace, right? And so just imagine that desert. Imagine being lonely and isolated, and there's this worship center, this worship center, this church in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden, this small trickle starts to flow, based, and it brings in this new life and this flourishing environment. and you see this river flowing into the Dead Sea. You see it? People are able to fish and relax and enjoy God's gifts. Do you believe every one of those people that are experiencing that oasis, they're running up to the worship center? Probably not. See, when we serve through God's love, we know the worship center is our place of peace, our place of calm. But then when we go out, this might be our oasis, but the beautiful thing is we may become that oasis for someone else. And that's this beautiful big picture of what happens when we serve through God's love and not our own. You see, have you ever had that happen in a conversation where someone goes, man, you just brought a peace and a calm to me. I've never had that, or I haven't had that lately. I think we all could use some of that peace and calm these days, right? That's what it means to choose to serve here at Thanksgiving. But you know what? Serving through God's love not only helps create an oasis, it also creates healthy boundaries. That's right. You know, the crazy thing about rivers is the more water you put in them, usually the more they overfill and flood. You guys familiar with this phenomenon? I think we're a little familiar with that around here, right? What's fascinating is in this vision, this bigger picture, the water actually gets deeper, but it's still channeled for a greater purpose to reach farther, right? Are we just serving to just do something? And that's the lesson here. This creating boundaries when we serve isn't an excuse for not to serve, but you got to ask yourself, use these questions. Is the choosing to serve helping me go deeper in community? Am I finding myself getting these riverbanks where the riverbanks with the fruit and the trees, everything is beautiful? It's not flooding out, right? It's not flooding and tearing it up and wiping it out, but it's actually bringing more fruit to the oasis. Isn't that what happens sometimes when we're just doing something? We get stretched thin and we're like, oh, I just can't do another thing. I'm tired. We're wiped out. But when we're truly serving in God's love, we find ourselves not only going deeper in our community, we see ourselves going deeper in our spiritual growth, which you're going to hear more from Pastor David next week. We go deeper in maybe who our one actually is and who God's calling us to. We also go deeper in our generosity of our time and our resources. And what's so fascinating about that is Ezekiel, the water goes over his head, right? How many of us, when we serve, we feel like we're getting in over our head and we're the maverick and we're just like, you know what? I'm done. I can't do this anymore. The point that's being made here with these boundaries is this is the time to equip others. We don't go in alone. Even Ezekiel had the angel. When we are equipped, we bring more people in and we do it together. That's what serving does. Those are the boundaries we're asking for, because we don't want you just doing something. We want either you to be equipped or you to be equipping others in that same flow of love. And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of serving. It creates these healthy boundaries. And you know what? Serving through God's love starts with the little things. We see that big picture. We see those healthy boundaries in this beautiful place. But it starts with the little things. And I know that can be hard to see with this big vision from the text today. I'm kind of reminded, this is kind of a text that's kind of flanks me here, but I'm reminded of the feeding of the 5,000. You know when Jesus feeds the 5,000? You guys know that story? Most of us know that text. And if you want to know more, comment if you're a guest online. We would love to share that story with you. But you know, we talk about how Jesus is, he's been teaching all day and he shows compassion on these people because he wants them to eat before they leave. And many people talk about Jesus and he's the bread of life in that text. And some will talk about how Jesus' disciples, you know, they were obedient in their purpose and success in that text. But you know who I think about in that text? I think about the little boy. The little boy that brought a lunch. And then I think I go back a little farther, and I think about the parents. I think about the mom in this story. I think about how even in the mundane pieces of life, she's still serving. She's being faithful, and she packs with joy a lunch for her son. And, you know, they're the father and maybe a crazy aunt or uncle and maybe some other family, and how they taught this young man what serving is like and to meet a need, to be available, to do the little things. And that day, he offered his lunch. And it impacted thousands through God's love, and it still impacts millions even to this very day, that story. And so when we think about that, what little things are we willing to do each day? What little things are we willing to participate in that may not seem like much, but they're exactly what God is looking for? Maybe it's a simple phone call to someone that is not able to gather. Maybe it's sharing a letter of encouragement for those that are without encouragement right now, or providing a meal or a simple coffee or conversation with somebody, maybe even anonymously on a porch. Maybe it's providing some cleaning after a worship service to help put someone else at ease to want to come live because they can't use the technology or whatever may be going on. Maybe it is helping our children and our teens by bringing a positive environment in an otherwise very negative place right now, right? We have had many serving opportunities over the last 2 months. And here at Thanksgiving, we got some pictures of them. We're going to continue to do this. We're going to continue to have serving opportunities, whether it's the Richmond family that brought the prayer earlier in our service, or working with other people around the metro. You can find all these on tlconnect.church. Maybe it's serving right here in our own family with whether there is a tech or a greeter or something that's going on, wherever God is calling and inspiring you, those are little things. And here's why. Here's why, because we want to inspire and equip you to not only be able to do them as a church, but be able to do them with your family, do them on your own, and have confidence that God is calling you through this channel of love to do just that. You know, one of these great things that we're partnering with right now is, I don't know if you know, due to COVID, we're not going to be able to do the Thanksgiving baskets this year. But guess what? We're going to work with Bellevue together. And we're going to support them and the families, and we're going to help provide Thanksgiving meals directly in our community. Those are the little things that we get to be a part of and work alongside. And so, why do I talk about all these opportunities? Why is this such a big deal? Well, I want to go back to that text from Paul, and here's why. All right? He says, "For you were called to a freedom, not an opportunity for serving your own flesh, but to serve one another with love." And then he gives this but. You got to look at those buts and those therefores with Paul. He says, "If you bite and devour one another," like he knows this is going to happen. We're going to do this. We're going to hurt each other, either intentionally or unintentionally at times. He says this, though, "Watch out that you are not consumed by one another." You hear that? Are we a little consumed with one another in our world right now? Are you guys sleeping out there? Have I been talking too long already? Maybe I'm the only one watching social media and watching TV. Maybe I need to quit doing that. That's exactly what it is. When we choose to serve, we were able to put that at bay. And what we learn in Jesus, he brought this to life on that night, what we call the Last Supper in the upper room. You see, Jesus is at the end of his ministry, and he's gathering with his disciples for one final meal. He's gathering with Judas, who's going to betray him, and Jesus knows this. He is gathering with his biggest fan, Peter, who will deny him, and Jesus knows this. And he is gathering with the remaining disciples who will abandon him in his biggest, greatest need. And Jesus knows this. And with all the power and authority that Jesus has, does he go into that room and try to devour them and ridicule them and create division? Absolutely not. You know what he does? He gets up from the table, he pours water into a basin, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. That's right. That's right. He washes their feet. And when we're in that moment, and you're in that moment, and we know that we're right, and it's our time, and everyone knows it, and we can preach it, and we can rebuke it, and we can point fingers and punish people and tell them and judge them, and let everyone know how great we are, and that we're the right ones, and they're the wrong ones. It is in those moments we realize something. We realize if we've been channeling through God's love this whole time, or we've been choosing something else on our own success, our own purposes. That's when we know. Jesus, after washing their feet, he asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." Did you hear that? It's not what we do. It's what he's already done. And what did he do? He gathered the betrayers, the deniers, the cowards, and he served them. And a few hours later, he would hang on a cross and die for those betrayals, those denials, and that cowardice. And he said, "Now I want all of you to go out. I want all of you to go out into the world and meet those that deny you, betray you, and because of their fear will not support you. Those enemies that are against you, and I want you to leverage the gift of freedom that I have given you, and I want you to serve them." Thanksgiving, that's what we're called to do. Not because they deserve it, but because Jesus, what he has done for each of us, and he went through that same channel of love, and he put us in that place of grace.